It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we will do 5 Reasons I Hate You in about 20 minutes. Jaguars edition. Not too tough. Pretty easy to find 5. So we'll get to that at about 8:25-ish or so. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you on a Football Friday. All right, let's take a look around the NFL. Stack the card for you here. We won't go through all of the games going on this weekend, just the ones that have some intrigue, either Texans-related intrigue or maybe Payne and Pendergast hatred-related intrigue. Amazingly, the Cleveland Browns don't wind up anywhere on here. I'm just not all that intrigued by the Browns facing the Raiders this weekend. It's make the card.
It's not intriguing other than just whatever your pettiness over Deshaun Watson and wanting to watch him just continue to play like Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. So the undercard, we do this like a wrestling or a boxing card here. The undercard, couple of games that are some nice morsels or appetizers. I am very interested in Pittsburgh at Indianapolis. Indianapolis, a slight underdog at home. Pittsburgh, a somewhat unlikely 3-0. I think people expected Pittsburgh to be competitive this season because they're always competitive.
Because Mike Tomlin is their head football coach.
They're going to win 9 games. They'll find a way to do it, whether it's with Ben Roethlisberger with no right arm left or Duck Hodges or whoever else. He'll find a way to win 9 games. 3-0, though, and the defense looks amazing right now.
Right. I think Pittsburgh and Seattle are the two teams where you're looking at right now where, they can do some impressive things defensively, but how's this going to play out over the course of a full season? This matchup of the Steelers versus the Colts, I feel like their current recipe for winning, which is just to be lights out on defense, they're probably set up pretty well to do that against the Colts.
Yes.
Anthony Richardson there could be some good low light reels from this one.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I look so forward to just watching the box score on this one in real time just to see if Anthony Richardson gets above 50% completion percentage.
You love tracking that, and I'm here for it. The 50%,
they got dicey last week.
But I love that you track it during the game is what's fun to me. Seth will look down at his phone or his laptop and be like, oh, Anthony Richardson, he's hovering right around, he's at 46% right now. You love tracking
last
that.
Week I was excited for the Colts to win the game because it meant the Colts got the ball on the last possession, and Richardson was right at 50%, but they were in clock eating time, you know. So I'm like, oh, just don't pass it, no screens or anything, please. And they can't trust Anthony Richardson to throw screens
right
when they're trying to run clock. That's a pick six waiting to happen. So he was right at 50%.
And
I'm
so
like, okay,
funny.
Don't do anything stupid. Don't do anything stupid to where you guys have to pass the ball, please. Yes.
So is Anthony Richardson under 50% completion percentage something you just continue? If you do over under, is you just keep hammering the under until he proves otherwise?
It's 50 or under. He's twice thrown for exactly
50%. Right.
He needs to break. He's like Roger Bannister running a 4-minute and 1-second mile over and over again. It doesn't matter. When can you break that 4-minute mile?
So
that's where Anthony Richardson is right now.
So you still
I know everybody's always comparing him to Roger Bannister, but I'm going to do it again.
Or Henry David Thoreau, one or the other. And if you don't know what we're talking about, Odyssey Rewind feature. So you say under 50.1% for Anthony Richardson this week.
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
If not, then definitely. I mean, can we count? If we count completions to the Steelers, then he might get above 50%.
He might, you're right.
If he's like 49%, but he also completed 3 balls to the Steelers, then that is still 49%.
I love the Steelers in this game because they're going to try to pound it on the ground too, which is a bad matchup the other way for the Colts.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like it's a bad matchup on both sides for the Colts, I think.
Yeah, and I would take the under. What's the points on this? Like 37?
Probably high 30s, I would guess. So Colts are a 1.5-point underdog at home. I would take the Steelers. I think they win by at least a touchdown. The other one on the undercard, kind of frisky. I mean, it doesn't look like it on the odds board. I mean, the Jets are more than a touchdown favorite at home against the Denver Broncos. But anytime you get Sean Payton and Nathaniel Hackett in the same building, man. Remember when Sean Payton
walking around with him, like, I got Russell Wilson here. I'll tell you what, last year, that Nathaniel Hackett,
worst
coaching job I've ever seen. He's the worst coached team he'd ever seen. He said that guy who had been coaching.
That.
And then Nathaniel Hackett, the offense, who's not a good offensive coordinator.
But a hell of a guy.
The Jets last year went out and beat Sean Payton in his fighting Russell Wilson's. The Jets offense, and I believe that was the Zach Wilson affair that day.
Oh, yeah.
The Jets had over 400 yards of offense on them, 31 points. They beat the Broncos. But now, Sean Payton's rolling in there.
Revenge.
Bo Nix.
Bo Nix,
yeah.
Baby.
That's right, baby.
Yeah.
He looked promising last week. Oh, that's right. God. Watch out. I think they're going to get destroyed. I think that Robert Saleh and that offense. And then, look, Aaron Rodgers loves Nathaniel Hackett, obviously. I think he's going to take that personally.
Oh.
I think you're going to get the absolute best performance out of Aaron Rodgers in this game. And I think they put one on the Broncos to an extreme degree.
I'm with you. Yeah, I think so. You think they cover the 7.5? It sounds like
lot.
You do. An extreme.
It's in New York.
In
New York.
But
yeah.
An extreme degree would seem to indicate more than a touchdown. So.
I still don't 100%. Like, I wouldn't put money on that. That's a hefty line.
Yeah.
Versus still a Jets team that does have
game
question
for
marks.
Me.
But the capacity for a blowout is there. I'm not 100% confident in it because I just don't know the Jets well enough yet.
All right, let's get to the mid card. This one's interesting to me. First of all, I think it's going to be a fun game to watch.
Yeah.
I don't think there'd be much defense in this game. Washington at Arizona. Arizona, a 3.5-point favorite. This is Cliff Kingsbury, OC for the Commanders, going against the team that fired him a couple years ago. This is a battle between two Heisman Trophy, Kyler Murray's still young, right? Two young Heisman Trophy winners, right? Kyler Murray on one side, Jaden Daniels on the other side. I just think it's going to be a fun as hell game to watch. One of those late afternoon games. It's probably not getting the attention the other late afternoon games are, but you're watching it on the ticker at the bottom of the screen. Or it's the one. Why do they keep going back to this game on Red Zone? Because it's 38-35 with 11 minutes to go. That's why.
Yeah.
I think it could be a real fun game to watch. And I think the Kingsbury storyline, if I had to guess, is getting a lot of attention in Arizona this week.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine.
Kingsbury coming back to Arizona.
Well, and this is the thing about Kingsbury is, like, the classic, what Cardinals fans would tell you, because they've known it so well, is that, yeah, Kingsbury's teams will jump out early in the season, and they'll do a lot of good things, but then they become, they kind of don't evolve as the year goes on. Kingsbury, he might be doing new and different things with a new and different quarterback, but teams start to figure it out. One of the things about Kingsbury's offenses is they tend to be super lazy. Like the secondary routes by receivers and what have you are just, they become very predictable. They don't run them all that hard. But it is early in the season. Jaden Daniels can hurt you with his legs. But I like the Cardinals in this game.
Yeah, I do too. The other mid-card game that I've got here is Seattle at Detroit. Seattle, another unlikely undefeated team. I don't think people would have picked Seattle to be 3-0 at this point. Not a major surprise, but a little surprising. Probably helped that they caught the Dolphins without Tua last week. They beat them 24-3. But Detroit, 2-1 on the season. They're a 3.5-point favorite hosting the undefeated Seattle Seahawks. This game.
I like the story of the Seahawks for now, but I'm not in it for the long haul with them. I think they've done some really good things, but look, they beat Bo Nix in his debut. They beat the Patriots in overtime. They beat the Tua-less Miami Dolphins last week.
Yeah.
And I think that Mike McDaniel is going to do some really good things for that defense over time, but I just don't I don't trust and believe in them at all. You know, I they've done some really nice things, but I think they're going to be, if they're a mediocre team this year, I think that'll be a good start for
Mike McDonald. Yeah, Mike McDonald.
Did I say McDaniel or McDonald the first time?
I don't remember. This line feels a little light at Detroit. I think Seattle coming in undefeated probably factors into how focused Detroit is going to be in this game. They're the more talented football team. The environment's going to be crazy because it's a Monday night football game. It's one of the two Monday night games. So I like Detroit in that one.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. or if you overcame.
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, let's get down to it here. The last two, the semi-main event. And the Texans have a little part in this because Minnesota is undefeated for a reason. Because they've beaten three other NFL teams, and the most recent one is the Houston Texans, who they embarrassed last week. So now, here comes Minnesota going up to Green Bay.
Yeah.
And everything I've been reading, this is the most anticipated Vikings visit to Green Bay. Granted, it's early in the season here.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the most anticipated one probably since Brett Favre was on the Vikings coming back to Lambeau Field. Like, this is
John, if I had told you before the season, hey, it's Sam Darnold. Malik Willis.
Yeah.
The Malik Willis, Sean.
Yeah.
Then, of course, you know it's a marquee matchup. And yet, somehow, yes, it is. It's good. It's a couple of the reclamation project stories of the year. This is becoming the story. This is the year of reclamation projects in the NFL at quarterback. And this might be the headline so far amongst reclamation projects.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even a reclamation with Malik Willis.
It's a clamation.
Or Sam Darnold, too. Yeah. Remember Geno Smith? He won the comeback player of the year, and everybody was kind of like, well, what? Coming back from what? He was never good.
Dude, Darnold. Yeah. Darnold is second on the board. I thought they clarified this to the rest of the NFL. I thought they clarified this to the writers in the offseason about the comeback player of the year, that you need to come back from, like, certain things.
Yeah.
You know, because Joe Flacco won it last year. Joe Flacco came back from being a backup and then sitting on the couch for 11 months. Like,
well, he came back from old age.
Yeah, but
he came back from aging.
Supposedly,
it's always a popular story.
Supposedly they sent out a memo saying, like, no, here's the criteria. And I thought it was pretty clear, like, no, somebody sucking is not something you come back from.
They specifically, I think, felt like, okay, DeMar Hamlin's heart stopping and almost dying on the football field was a pretty notable thing to come back from. Whereas with Joe Flacco, it was more nondescript, like, his career was petering out, you know. And what are you gonna?
Joe Flacco's coming back from ordering DoorDash and watching Netflix on the couch.
Yeah. Joe Flacco is coming back from enjoying the retirement of a very wealthy man.
Yes.
Yeah,
well deserved.
Ooh.
Yeah. Look at the grit. Look at the grit with Flacco.
It would be like if Warren Buffett started a startup this year or something.
Comeback billionaire of the year.
You're like, oh boy, comeback of the year for Warren Buffett. He went from ninth richest man in the world to eighth. Ooh.
Who do you like in this Minnesota Green Bay game? Do you have a preference?
I like Minnesota.
You do?
I like Minnesota because I remain impressed with Brian Flores' defense.
Me too.
That thing is a bouquet of Venus flytraps, as Mark Sanchez might describe it.
Someone says Sam Darnold versus Malik Willis being a big game is when we realize the NFL will always be king. Bingo. Yeah,
that's a really good point. is a very, very good point. At least in the immediate future, that somehow I am genuinely excited about Malik Willis versus Sam Darnold.
I have this as the number two game on my board this week, and nobody's taking any issue with it.
And Sam Darnold might be one of my favorite NFL quarterbacks
right now. Then there's that.
I thought Sam Darnold played better. Like, Sam Darnold had good numbers and good performances in both the 49ers games and the Texans games. I thought he was better last week than he had been the week before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he made some really nice tight window throws in that Texans game.
He did, man.
One of the things D'Amico was talking about was defensively, it wasn't as much about guys being out of position or blowing coverages or anything like that. It was they were in position to make plays, and they just flat out didn't make plays.
Make them, yeah.
Derek Stingley going for that interception. You know,
tried to undercut
Justin Jefferson ends up catching it. The play for the touchdown where three dudes were surrounding the receiver, the tight end.
Yeah.
Those are some nice throws by Sam Darnold.
Really? Yeah, especially that one you're talking about to the tight end at the goal line. That was some tight window stuff, man.
Yeah.
The main event of the weekend, Buffalo at Baltimore. That is the Sunday night football game. Ravens are a 2.5-point favorite. 1-2 Ravens. The Bills, obviously, not just undefeated, but undefeated and have looked really, really good in doing so. In terms of what I'm hoping for, I hope Buffalo wins this game because I would love for them to come to NRG Stadium undefeated in week five. I think that adds some juice to the game if the Bills, Texans are the first team to knock off the Bills. But the Ravens are a 2.5-point favorite. What say you, man? What do you think?
I think I like the Bills a lot in this. I think that if they can jump out to a lead, Baltimore showed last week that the old issues that plague them continue to plague them. They can't retain a lead. Just some of these annoying things about the Ravens, if you're a Ravens fan, are writ large this year because they haven't been the same football team.
I just
the Bills are a team in full right now. The Bills might be in that horrible spot where, they might peak too soon.
Yeah.
But if they do peak too soon, then they're right in the middle of peaking too soon right now.
Yep, they're clicking, no doubt about it. All right, that's your card for the NFL weekend. Those are some of the games we really, really like. Up next, we'll do Five Reasons I Hate You, Jacksonville edition. We get to do this twice a year. Our first chance to do it this year, but first, Seth, you got the injury report.
The injury report, and this is a dicey one because the official injury report yesterday did not include Nico Collins with a hamstring injury, and yet there he is now with on the Friday injury report with a hamstring injury that he must have tweaked during practice or something. So we don't know much about him. Tank Dell with his chest/rib injury did not participate. Yes, Foley Fadakasi, Joe Mixon, and Damian Pierce all did not participate in practice yesterday. Jaguars pretty banged up themselves. Gabe Davis notably with a shoulder, but did not participate. Evan Engram, the tight end who hasn't played this year, and the linebacker Alukon with a foot. That's your Mokarum injury report.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything, and that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.